nonviolent resistance in a West Bank village surrounded by Israeli settlements. Shot by Palestinian farmer Ahmad Burnat, who brought his first camera in 2005 to record the birth of his youngest son, the film is structured in chapters around the destruction of each one of Burnat's cameras. Again, that's Five Broken Cameras, Thursday, December 11th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
There's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love.
Good morning and welcome to the December edition of Black Book Talk. I am Patricia Welch, the library lady.
And O.B. Hill with Reflections Mirror Image Books.
And joining us soon will be Emma Jackson Ford, bookwoman. It was hard to let that music go. That is just such a wonderful song. And it was the choice of our guest today. We asked our guest if there are any songs they'd like in terms of opening and ending. And he said that he would like that. Our guest is Martinell Davis, and he is the author of the book, Are We There Yet? The Ultimate Challenge. Mr. Davis, welcome to Black Book Talk.
Hey, thanks for having me, Patricia and OB.
Okay, and you have great taste in music, so we will also use that as our exit music because it's wonderful. How are you doing today?
I'm excellent, excellent. I told you I was going to be on the road today, but hopefully my connection is nice and clear and everybody can hear me okay.
If everybody's hearing you as well as I am, your connection is incredible.
Oh, excellent. That's good then.
Okay, as you know, this is a pledge period, so we're going to have some interruptions. So let's just get to it. Tell our listeners about your book, why you chose to write this book, and we'll get into some details. But what motivated you to write Are We There Yet? The Ultimate Challenge?
Well, I'm out of the Chicago area, and as everybody is well known all the way through the nation, we have just an unprecedented amount of shootings and gun violence and gang violence. And what motivated me to write the book were really two deaths in particular. It was a Janila Watkins and a Hondia Pendleton. Now, just let me give you a little background on that. Janila Watkins was only 6 months old, and as her father was changing her diaper in their van, the little girl was killed by, gang violence. And then Hondia Pendleton, she was a beautiful 15-year-old young lady, had just done something for the inauguration of Barack Obama, and I'm sure you've seen it on the news. And then she was killed as she was basically sheltering from rain in a park under like a gazebo type thing, and then she was shot and killed. After those two incidents were pretty much happened back to back. It just motivated me to write the book and put something out there that says, really, enough's enough. We really have to stop killing one another.
This one-on-one black violence has really been around for quite some time. Where do you trace it back to?
Well, I really go back to we haven't taken accountability of our own communities, and I'll be clear with this. I think that if you want your community back from gangs, drug dealing, vandalism, you really have to be what I call a world-class snitch. You have to be willing to pick up that phone and call the police whenever you have something going on in your community that's detrimental to the community. You can't hide behind rocks and hide behind your door figuring it'll never happen to you, because I'm sure these hundreds of people who've lost their kids in Chicago felt it would never happen to them, and that's why they never picked up the phone when it happened to their neighbor's kid. But ultimately, it's going to be on your doorstep. So in order to combat against that, you have to take your streets back, and you have to do it by picking up the phone, being involved in your community, and not letting the gangbangers and the drug dealers take it over.
But that supposes a trust in the police that I think, as we all know, is lacking in many aspects of the African-American community, and I think many would say for good reason. There are many people who feel that they can't trust the police any more than they can trust the gangbangers. So what would you say to them?
Now, isn't that a sad state of affairs? That is a sad state of affairs, but very true. When it's a point that there is many black men, especially nowadays, as they say, one every 28 hours, being killed by law enforcement. Mm-hmm. But then I know with the city of Chicago, they have ways that you can actually do a tip line or even text a tip that can let the police know if you are aware of who, you know, shot someone and killed someone. Father Flager and I, we had put together like a $15,000 reward recently for the killing of Antonio White, a 9-year-old who was just gunned down by several gangbangers because they thought Antonio was going to, I guess, tell the other gang where they were at. And fortunately, that money obviously motivated people to a point where they picked up the phone, they let, you know, law enforcement know, and they were able to at least arrest 4 of those gangbangers. And now, I guess, you know, they're proceeding to trial or whatever takes place next. But at least the community got together and said, enough's enough. We got to get these guys off the street.
Okay. Let's see. Again, I still think there are a lot of people who have written books about, you know, what African Americans can do, taking responsibility for our lives economically and other ways. What are you saying in your book that you think is a little different and will sound a call that that people will hear clearly than they've heard this message before? Because there's been a long line of books that have said, you know, this is what African Americans can do, everything from going back to Africa to building our own economies.
You know, I didn't reinvent the wheel with this book. I just broke it down very simply. I have this thing that says, if black Americans want their piece of the pie, we have to practice pie. We have to practice our political power, our intellectual power, and our economic power. And then I break it down to a point where it doesn't cost us really anything to register and vote in huge numbers, and vote locally as well as nationally. See, this is our right. People died for us to have this right. And for us not to exercise it is ludicrous. You cannot affect any type of change or get the resources that your community needs if you're not putting politicians in place that have your best interest in mind. The intellectual part of it, I'm a big fan of something called Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3. Are you familiar with that?
I've heard about it. Yeah.
Do more than hear about it, Patricia and OB. Get your hands on Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3. It's a DVD collection that literally changed everything I thought about when it came to my own people, because it taught me so much about African and our contributions to society, to civilization, to the world, way before we were slaves. See, I think in our educational system, we start off on on a bad foot or on a weak foundation, folks, because we only learn from the time we were slaves and forward.
I'm going to ask you to hold that thought. We have to take our first pledge break. And since you've been kind enough to donate three of your books to it, we want to make sure that people are aware of this. So we're going to turn it over now to our wonderful pledge folks.
Absolutely. And thank you so much, Patricia. This is your opportunity. So the interview is going to pause for just a minute, so you won't miss a piece of this interview. You just can call 877-500-5266 right now to make your pledge of support to KBOO, to Black Book Talk, right this morning. And Patricia, what is the membership level for the book for them to get?
I'm sorry, membership level $60.
$60, excellent. And you can get Martin L. Davis's Where Are We There Yet? The Ultimate Challenge. It provides a blueprint of what people of color need to do in order to change their standing in American society. And that's $60 a year, that's $5 a month, folks. Give us a call at 877-500-5266, and you can have that. You can have that book.
That's right, you can. And when you pick up the phone and dial 877-500-5266, we have many different gifts or presents when you pledge your support. And one of them is this terrific book that sounds very interesting and very timely. I mean, it's unfortunate that it's very timely, but this book seems very pertinent as we speak. And you get these terrific shows, you get these amazing authors, thanks to KBOO, your community radio station. So pick up the phone, dial 877-500-5266. It's an incredibly important phone call you'll make today, and you'll be pledging your support to keep this show in particular on the air, but all the other great shows, the great DJs we have, the many book author interviews we have, the news and current affairs programs. It's a great resource. I've lived in many cities in this country, and not many of them have an amazing radio station like this. So please pick up the phone, dial 877-500-5266. Isn't that right, Lynn?
Absolutely. Or donate online, kboo.fm. That's kboo.fm. Albert from Portland and Soham from Portland, who loves Democracy Now!, and Sean, who's new from Portland, Laura, new from Portland, and Andrea, renewing from Portland, all did this at kboo.fm.
Thank you.
You can too. Thank you. And now, back to Black Book Talk.
Okay. We're welcoming our third member today. Emma has joined us.
Good morning.
Okay.
Good morning.
I was reading your statement that we need to work this out step by step and day by day. What would you say our first step is?
The first step is we have to stop degrading each other. See, we have to get away from calling each other the N-word and the B-word. Like I said, it's a lot easier to kill someone that you refer to as an N or as a B than it is to kill someone that you refer to as your brother, your sister. See, and that is something that doesn't cost us a dime. It's just a change in our mindset. Like, we have enough people degrading us. We see that every day. We see these non-indictments of, police that are killing, our young black brothers. So we have enough people degrading us and incarcerating us. The last thing we need to do, folks, is be doing it ourselves. We have to stop that. And that's day one. We can stop that.
What about the teaching of African-American history along with the history that most people already teach?
See, my thing is the history that we're learning right now, like I said, it all starts from when we were slaves. That's how it starts. Our kids are off to... The first thing they learn about their culture is that we were cattle or livestock and beaten and in chains. That shouldn't be the case. They should learn about the Moors and how we are the ones who discovered astrology, how we discovered navigation, how we discovered the alphabet, numbers, pyramids. Like, we've done some great, outstanding things that I never knew of until I saw Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3. I never even knew that Russian people would not be talking Russian if it wasn't for a black guy named Alexander Pushkin.
Yes.
Like, these are the things you learn in those DVD collections. They should be mandatory in all our school systems.
Well, some of us teach history this way. We teach it when we're teaching state history or local history. Some of us already teach this way. What's another step we can take?
Well, I don't think I've seen any school system that really builds the African-American children's heritage and culture, to let them know the stock that they come from, the brains that they come from.
But even if the whole school system doesn't do it, there are individual teachers who do teach like that.
You know, I've never seen it, and I'm just being clear. You know, I have four sons.
I have.
Who have already been in the school system.
I'm half-day librarian, half-day fourth-grade teacher, and when I teach our state history, I always teach about our contributions. And because I teach my children in third grade and fourth grade, I have a lot of time to talk a lot about African and African-American history because I have Africans in my classroom.
Yeah, but this is where I think we have the disconnect. When you talk about African-American history, you're talking about the time that we were brought here as slaves. You need to go beyond that. You need to go to find out who was helping Columbus navigate to the New World, how he had Moors.
Or that there was a black Moor who came over in 1620 on the Mayflower. I talk about those things. What's another step we can take?
Well, another step in school is I know I have a website called Be Brilliant, and it actually tells kids not to be ashamed of being intelligent, of raising their hand in class, of getting good grades. See, in some inner city communities, folks, kids are actually bullied or frowned upon when they speak intelligently, when they ask questions, when they get good grades. They don't even want to carry books for the fear of being teased. So I put together a website called Be Brilliant. I have shirts that I donate to the inner cities and let them know there's nothing wrong with being intelligent and speaking good English. Never let anybody take that away from you. And that's something that we collectively need to do for all our students. Never let them be ashamed of being brilliant.
That's right.
What are the ages that you recommend the book to? For instance, at the grade school level, doesn't it have to also be reinforced in the home? So are you working with parents in conjunction with your teaching lessons?
Well, I have to be honest with you. I don't get a chance to get in front of a lot of parents because usually when I'm called upon, it's for career days at school or assemblies where I'm talking to the students as a youth mentor. It's very rare, and but not that I wouldn't do it, but if they put me in front of, single parents or young parents that would like my take on parenting, I would love to do that. I haven't had the opportunity. But to get back to the age of the book, I would say my book is for anyone from 11 years old to 111 because it covers that much of what I call instilling pride and instilling unity within the black community.
You're listening to Black Book Talk on KBOO, and our guest is Martin L. Davis, and we're talking about his new book, Are We There Yet? Now, Are We There Yet? It seems like I remember a childhood program that one of my daughters used to look at, and that was a theme song. Do you remember that?
No, I don't. I just know that I came up with the title of the book before I even wrote a word of the book because I just wanted to ask the community, like, are we sick and tired of being sick and tired? Are we, to a point yet where we are going to stand up and take back our political position, our economic position, and raise our status in America? Like, are we to a point now where we're finally ready to put down the craziness and the nonsense and the guns and just step up and say, okay, now it's time to get busy here and start doing what we need to do to uplift our people.
Okay, let me ask you something. Tell us about you, because, we are all our best example, or at least we are all our example, better or worse. So tell us about your life so we can understand the man behind the book.
Okay, well, you're talking to a person that I'm a security expert. I'm what they call a CPP in the security field. I've been with my company for 25 years. I started as a $6.50 security officer back in 1989. Now I'm a senior vice president running the middle of the country. So I was originally out of New Jersey, grew up maybe 20 minutes outside of Newark, New Jersey, in a town called Plainfield. I went to Union County College, and while I was in college, I was actually working part-time in security, and security was one of those things I guess it just drew to me, and I drew to it, and I stayed with it, and I love what I do and traveling around the country. And I even do international work that I travel for also.
You know, I hate to do this because I seem to be doing this repeatedly, but we've just received a signal. It's time for us to take a pledge break. We're going to come back to you, and I want you to remember that question. We still want to know more about you, but now we have to ask for a little support.
Absolutely. Thank you, Patricia. And you just hold that. Everybody hold the thought. You will be back soon to find out more about our guest today, Martin Davis. But first, you need to pick up that phone and dial 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KABU to continue with this kind of programming, to continue with in-depth news and public affairs like we have at KABU. We need your support. 83% of what we of the money we get is directly from individuals. That is you, the listener, you, the person who is listening right now. It's you. Dial 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm. Eh, Will?
That's for sure. And it's very easy to donate and very easy to support KBOO, but it's also very, very important. Where else are you going to get terrific shows like this with amazing authors? These interviews are telling you more than just like somebody appearing on a talk show to sell a book. This is about the book, about the author's life, how the book came into its own. And you can get that book, too, very easily by just calling us at 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KABU.
Absolutely. For a $60 minimum pledge, that is $5 a month, folks. You, too, can get this book. Call in the way Tim, who renewed from Albany, Oregon, and Roger, who renewed from Beaverton, and Audrey and James, who renewed from Southwest. This is what's going on this morning. We are doing a little mini membership drive. It's 3 days long. We're going to make $20,000, and you are helping. We're well on our way. Things are going great, but they can always be better. And you can call 877-500-5266 to contribute your part of the 83% that's directly from individuals. That's how we run the station. Only 17% is from other very local sources, like mostly underwriting and vehicle donations and web ads. That's how we fund the station. That's how we can keep our news clean, clear, and accurate, because we're beholden to nobody. Nobody but all you all. Yeah.
Yep.
And non-biased.
Yep.
877-500-5266 is the number to call. Now is the time to do it. I want to thank some restaurants this morning that are contributing today to feed our hungry volunteers. Gravy at 3957 Northeast Mississippi Avenue, offering a full range of breakfast options for egg lovers, meat lovers, veggie lovers, and vegans. Knuckle Sandwich at 2137 East Burnside Unit D, serving a variety of sandwiches, soups, and dogs. Open at 11 a.m. 7 days a week. And Mississippi Pizza Pub, more than 10 years of pizza and salads for the community, along with music, trivia, karaoke, and bingo. Thank you, restaurants. And thank you for the call that you are about to make at 877-500-5266 or kboo.fm. Awil?
That's right. That's right. And it's incredibly important you do this. I know I've said that already.
But it's still important.
It's very important. And you can be a superhero. There's a lot of bums. There's a lot of bad people out there in the world. Some of them are wearing uniforms. But you can be a hero. You can be a positive person and a positive influence in your community when you pick up that phone and dial 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. And you will be an active member of KBOO, the community radio station that you love and that we love you. So please pick up the phone. Dial 877-500-5266.
Absolutely. And we have a $250 modest goal this morning, and we are well on our way to meeting it for Black Book Talk. This is your time so that you can listen to the rest of this interview and you won't have to be disturbed. But call now, 877-500-5266. KBOO.FM. Call, contribute to this amazing institution. And right now, we're going to be coming back to Black Book Talk. Patricia, I want to hear the rest of his story.
I do too. Okay, Mr. Davis, just pick up where you were. You were telling, let me see, you're from Plainfield, New Jersey. You've been with your security company for 25 years, but you started off at a job with about, getting what, $6 an hour? Is that about where you were?
That's correct.
Emma says $6.50. Okay.
Yeah, $6.50. But at this point, but I try to instill in the kids that I speak to that you don't always start at the top at a job, and it can grow into something spectacular. And I tell them that there's opportunity everywhere. You don't have to be a famous rapper or famous ball player in order to make great money. And I tell them stuff like, you know, like if they have a toothpick in their mouth, I say, now somebody made those toothpicks. Somebody made that straw. I said, somebody made those sneakers you're wearing. Like you, the person living next door to Michael Jordan or Tiger Woods, you've never heard of. But I bet you're doing something that you could be doing once you're done with school. But you have to educate yourself. You have to find out what your passion is and go with it. So I do a lot of mentoring in the schools, and I always love doing that because, I don't know, sometimes it's just they don't see enough positive role models in their lives, like in their 8-block radius, I'll put it that way. So it's always good to kind of go in there and just let them know there's so much more than gang banging and drug dealing and you know, trying to be a famous rapper to get ahead in America.
It's true.
Very true. The cover of your book has what looks like two people mountain climbing, and one is holding the other up, who's just out there in the swinging in the wind. Can you explain a little bit about the picture?
Wow. I was hoping that picture was self-explanatory because it's all about lifting other people up. You know how there's a bad saying in the black community, we're crabs in a barrel, always pulling others down. I want us to pull each other up, to support one another, to really get involved and take ownership in raising our kids and promoting our own businesses, our own economy, like some of the stuff that other people have said for years. But we have to do it. We have to practice it. I'm tired of being the highest incarcerated rate, the highest unemployment rate, the highest dropout rate. Like, when is that going to stop for us? We don't have to deal with that. We can demand better. But it's up to us to create that type of opportunity, education, and economic independence ourselves. No one will help the black man until he helps himself. That's what Malcolm X said, and I truly believe that.
In line with Malcolm X and a number of other people who started programs for black united types of effort, what type of businesses do you think would be available to us in these 8-block areas that we could take over? Aren't there other people now controlling these businesses that would create an automatic conflict?
You know what I have in my book is called the Nike Challenge. And I still feel that the amount of sneakers and Nike apparel that the black community buys, well, and the people of color, Latin also, if we stop buying Nikes and tell them, hey, we're not going to spend another dime on your product until you put some manufacturing plants in our communities or distribution centers or warehouses. Like, we have enough power and we spend enough money through that company to make them come into our communities with jobs. Even with the black hair care product, I mentioned that in my book also. How can we as black people not have the lion's share of black hair care products? That's ridiculous to me. So that's another thing where if we really just say we're going to stop buying from outside entities and start, you know, supporting our own people that do that same type of product line, we will create jobs because people will hire people within their community. They will have to manufacture within their community. So it's all about, we have a strong economic base, folks. We just don't put it together like other ethnic groups do. And that's our biggest problem.
Hey, I want to ask you about the challenge that you created last summer. You were going to pay $1,000 to anyone who could present a lyric in a popular hip-hop or R&B song written and released. It was before August 1st. And the N-word can't be replaced with brother, hit a hustler. And the B-word couldn't be replaced with sister, chick, peace. As an example, a dime piece. So what happened?
This was awesome. Let me tell you how awesome this was. Every place I went, of course, people wanted to take me up on that challenge. And every time they threw out a lyric, I said, oh, you can replace that with brother. Oh, you can replace that with hitter. You can replace that with hustler. And like they were like, oh, okay. And then they would come back with another one or another one. And then you know what it did? It had everybody listening to these songs going, you know, I really could have. Like, every time now they hear the N-word, of course, it's registering, is this one to stump Martin Davis? But then they even themselves will say, nah, he could replace that one with brother. Or, nah, he could replace that one with hustler or chick or, you know. So it was really really an exercise so they can listen to the music, see how often these words are being used, and how easy it would be to replace them with other words that wouldn't be as degrading.
You know something? You sound like you're pretty darn irreplaceable. We're just going to have to bring you back somehow. I don't know how it's happened, but a half an hour is almost over, and we have to move over for the next group to come in. Thank you, first of all, for writing the book. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a great interview.
Okay, thanks for having me, folks.
Okay, and we wish you and us nothing but success.
Now for the KBOO News at Noon for Thursday, December 4th, 2014. In a speech today, civil rights leader Al Sharpton said that he would help launch a new campaign based on the 1960s model. He called on protesters to focus on the national government, noting that the pressure 60s protesters put on it helped lead to the 1964 Civil Rights Act. Sharpton's remarks come the day after a grand jury decided not to indict Daniel Pantaleo, a white NYPD officer that killed Eric Garner, an unarmed black man, this summer. It comes shortly after a grand jury's refusal to indict Darren Wilson, the white police officer that killed Michael Brown, an unarmed black teenager in Ferguson, Missouri. After the non-indictment ruling for Wilson, protests have occurred on multiple nights across the country. Pantaleo's non-indictment comes despite his use of a chokehold on Garner, a technique banned by the NYPD, and the killing appearing on video. According to a study by Portland think tank City Observatory, gentrified neighborhoods may be the exception and not the norm. The report, released today, found that since 1970, every urban area in the country, with the exception of Orlando and Virginia Beach, has experienced a rise in concentrated poverty. The study also noted that only 1 in 13 high-poverty areas experienced economic growth over that time period, the other 12 becoming more impoverished. The study defined high-poverty areas as neighborhoods with a poverty rate of 30% or more. It found a growth in these nationally, with over 1,200 neighborhoods becoming high poverty over the survey's time frame. High poverty areas in Portland almost doubled in that time period, from 10 to 18. On Tuesday, a fracking ban went into effect in the place where the technique was invented, Denton, Texas.